This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
This morning, if I have a title, it is Know Your Memorial Stones. Or, if that sounds a bit too much like a funeral, Know Your Testimony Stones. Over the last few months, we've taken time as a church, for those of you who are visiting us, to focus on Jesus. Now, that should always be the purpose of any church meeting. But there are many different ways in which we can do that. But sometimes it's good and it's right and it's amazing that we actually kind of say, well, all the meat on the bones is is beyond what we need right now. We are just going to focus on him. And for me, that's been amazing. It's been a time when I feel a greater sense of passion for Jesus now than I've probably ever done so in my life. gives me an opportunity to name drop one of my favourite worship songs, which is Jesus at the Centre of It All. Through this time, God's been stirring me as to how he's been using me in conversations with people in my life, whether they be friends. We've recently got into a habit of just acquiring people. It's wonderful. not like a collection. It's okay. We don't have a basement. They're not locked away anyway. but you know, just through absolute chance happenings, whether we be at the park, whether we be at the school gates, we've just found, both Jen and I, that new people are coming into our lives. And I believe that's something that God wants us all to be in the habit of doing. You know, if everybody in our life is somebody who knows everything about us, then the grounds for us to really tell God, tell of God's goodness, is diminished by the fact that, well, quite frankly, some of them have heard it before. You know, I mean, there are people out there that need you in their life. And we can go about it and we can think, hang on. Realised I haven't started my stopwatch, I need to do that. We can go about it and we can spend time thinking, oh, well, maybe I'll do all this and I'll do all this and I'll be all strategic and this, that and the other. I don't know, maybe I'll join a gym and meet people that way, or maybe I'll go park running and meet people that way. That's a good thing to do. But you know what? Ultimately, the main thing you need to do is ask Jesus. You need to ask God and you need to say, God, bring people into my life so that I can share your life with them. you know, my hope today is for us to share the life of God with the people in our lives. And one thing that we are certain of is that we need to tell people about God. But I think sometimes the thing that we're less sure of is, well, what do we tell them? We can tell them about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and ultimately, that absolutely, you know, if anything else goes, let it not be that thing that goes, okay? But in terms of making it something that people can relate to more, I just wanted to turn to the Word of God at this point. So if we're going to turn to Joshua 4, verse 1 to 7, if you want to follow it, that's great. I'm just going to read it out to us. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, oh, hang on, I can hear the pages fluttering. I'll wait a moment. Joshua 4, verse 1 to 7. I'll take a moment to go. Start again. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Now, there are many things we could draw from this passage. I'm sure at this point you can kind of see why I've got some rocks here. God told them to take it when the priests were in a place of sure footing. I want to tell you that if you're here today and you are in a place of sure footing with God, then right now you have an amazing capacity to gain a new testimony of what God is doing in your life. Sometimes we can take it easy when everything's going well. Sometimes we can think, oh, do you know what? Oh, last year was such a stress, but right now, everything's sorted. This work issue's sorted. This situation in my family, that's all died down. Right now, but I don't believe that's what God wants for us. When we're in a place of sure footing, that's when God wants to say to you, right now is the time when I'm going to do something in you that you're going to tell your children about. The next thing that I notice in this passage is that God tells Joshua to take these stones to their place of rest. Do you know, it's so important that as Christians, we rest in what God has done in our lives. It's so important that when, you know, those little panicky moments come and this, that and the other, it's so important that we actually take some time and actually think, hang on a second, no. I'm not going to get stressed about this. God's already done so much more than this for me before. I don't need to be worked up here. I don't need to be stressed here. I can rest in what God has done. And the last couple of things I want to draw out of this, and this is kind of forming the main part of what I'm going to speak about today, is the fact that God wanted the people of God to have something physical, to have something that they look back at and they can pass by that way again. And they can say, wow, do you remember when God did that? Do you remember when God did that in my life? That is the place from which I will worship him. Now, this place where they set up these stones is a place called Gilgal. And Gilgal is something, and we'll come back to that, but Gilgal was like, it was like the backdrop to so many parts of the Old Testament. It was, and I'll pick up on just a few of those later on. But you'll see why it's so significant. But what God was effectively instructing the nation to do that day is remember that day, is to remember that God did it. God wanted them to never forget the mighty miracle he had performed in bringing them into new territory. Now, I just want to take a moment here because I just felt God speak to me as I was preparing this. Does God want you to move into new territory today? There may be some of you for whom that has been your heart's cry for some time. Today, I believe God wants to tell you it's time to cross over. Another element which we see here is that God did not want this to be a miracle which was only going to sustain that generation. Okay? Yes, there might have been children being carried on shoulders or even walking. It was a dry bed. But there would have been children to come. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about what happened when we crossed over the Jordan. It was to be a move of God which would be a source to them. It was to be their testimony. I'd like us to turn now to Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. This feels incredibly relevant given the way we started our meeting today. It says, Revelation 12, 10 and 11, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last. Salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death.'" I think we're all agreed, those of us in here who know Jesus, that the blood of the Lamb, Jesus' blood shed on the cross, has power that this universe knows no greater than. But something as believers we sometimes do is we don't remember the second half of that sentence. Because it says, they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Did you know that what God has done in your life has got the power to bring Satan crashing down? When God first started speaking to me about some of these elements over the last few weeks, this was really the key thing. Because I was finding in different situations with some of these different people that I was meeting that I kept on telling them the same stories again and again of stuff that God had done in my life. Sometimes those things were extremely hard. Sometimes they were things, my lowest moments. But you know what? I'd like to establish what it means when it talks about our testimony. I don't believe it's just an account of how we got to that place where we first prayed a prayer and then after that, you know, I believe in Jesus now, okay? As powerful as that story is, the power of our testimony is the ongoing work that Jesus continues to do in our lives. They are the key lessons that we have learned in our faith with God. In our walk with God, sorry. Now, these things, you know, I think what I really want to say to you guys, and this is something that each one of you individually needs to ask yourselves, is what is it that God has done in my life? Because that is where the power is. Yes, I can say, oh, you should hear this thing that's happened, in John Eve's life. You know, you can hear this thing that's happened in Matthew's life. But the real power comes when you say, this is what God did for me. They may be prophetic words that somebody has brought us. Do you know what? How many of you have ever had somebody bring you a prophetic word and then years down the line brought that same word to somebody else? I've done that. When I was probably about 20, I remember I was in this youth conference and I was one of the leaders, but somebody else there brought me a word of God and it just said, God wants you to stand up straight, hold your head up high, and basically just stand in your sonship. And that's something that I've brought a number of different times to other young men who I've seen with slumped shoulders, maybe who don't really know what they are. And even if I haven't said, thus says the Lord, it's something I try and tell the students that I teach. For those of you who don't know, I'm a school teacher. I teach in a high school. You know, the other things our testimony might be is they might be those things that are the key foundations in our faith. You know, I was discussing with Matthew just the other day, and one thing that you may feel is that, do you know what, I love this certain preacher, but do you know what, I get a sense they just preach about the same thing every time. And do you know what, I think that's okay. I think that's fine, because actually I think that God has shaped something in that individual or in you that is uniquely you. You know, the stuff, Carol, the stuff that God has done in your life is stuff that we need to know about, because your story is one unique to you. And when you hear people preaching or just the way in which they conduct themselves, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hang on. I'll put a pause on that, okay? There may be really significant seasons in our life. It may be a healing that we've either received or witnessed, okay? It may be a time when we ask God for something and our prayers were answered. So all of these things are our testimony. Which brings me to my visual aids. Stone one. Okay. Now, not all of these came out well. I wrote them on in chalk. Hazel, I will wash them if you need me to. Do you know, all of these stones have a story, okay? They were all quarried somewhere. They were all, you know, God took thousands of years to form these things. And he knew when he formed them that right now they'd sit on this table. And they'd be a demonstration to you of what he's done. My first stone I want to turn around. This is the really illegible one. The others are all right. Okay, for those of you who can't see, hang on, I'll try and pick it up. Can anybody read that? It's writing in tongues. Anybody? Miracles, yes. Okay. So, do you know what? So the first one I want to highlight to us, and these, do you know what? In some ways, these aren't in any particular order. I thought it was a little bit hollow if I stood up here this morning and basically said, oh, you've got to talk about your testimony, and then I didn't tell you any, okay? So that's what I'm going to spend probably the next 10 minutes doing, okay? So the first stone I want to highlight to you are the miracles God has done in and around your life, okay? Let me tell you two stories in me, okay? When I was about 11 or 12, I had really, really horrible eczema on my feet, okay? Not a nice topic, okay? But, you know, if you look at the lines on your palm, you know, you've got those same lines on your feet. Well, for me, when it got bad, basically every single one of those was just an open sore. And it was tremendously painful. You know, there was times when I had to basically change my socks because there was blood on them. But then I went to a meeting led by a Christian children's minister who goes by the name of Ishmael. You may well know him. This was in Cardiff, where I grew up. And I remember distinctly what the room looked like. It was quite dark. There were lights on the stage. I remember which way I was facing. And this man prayed for me because he'd asked people if they had anything they wanted to be healed from. And it wasn't until I was probably in my late teens that I kind of remembered this. My feet today are freakishly soft, okay? Freakishly soft, okay? All right? I can take my shoes and socks off now. I thought I might, but better than that, I thought what I'd actually do is just, I'd take a photo of them. So it's I've got a photo here of my feet, okay? This is unusual, okay? Let me see, where have we got that? Okay. Okay, here we go. That is one of my
oh,
feet. Yeah, okay. As you can see, okay, they're beautifully soft and smooth. Okay, they're not Eva's feet, they're not. They are mine, okay? Do you know, that's amazing. It is amazing to me, though, because joking aside, you know, whenever I get that little clinch of doubt about whether God really heals, whenever I get that little stab of, what are you doing praying for that? What are you doing asking for that? You know, those doubts, I just think about my feet. And I just think about the fact that, hang on, here I am, 17 stone guy. You know, my feet work hard, okay? And I run as well, so there you go. And I think about my feet, and I think about the fact that, hang on, that is still a testimony to God's goodness. Because God didn't just clear those sores on my feet. He gave me brand new baby feet, basically, okay? And I'm 37 next week, okay? And they're still pretty darn spanking smooth and soft, okay? So there you go. But you know what? I bet that each and every single person in here who's been a Christian for, you know, anything longer than about kind of a few months, I bet each and every single one of us knows of somebody that's been healed. That we know of somebody, even if it wasn't ourselves, we've seen it happen. And in terms of our testimony stones, it's so important for us to have marker points to go back to. Because we can say, you know, some of you may have received kind of a Facebook message from me this week about my colleague's son, who for a few days, well, they feared he had cancer in his bowel. He's 19 years old. Praise God. That on Thursday, the test came back, and there is a tumour, but it is benign, and that was removed on Friday. But you know what? I stood with his mum, who's my colleague, at the start of lesson two on Tuesday, I think, or Monday, and I just thought, right, sack this. I'm just doing it. My class are in there. They know what work they're doing. I'm going to stand in the corridor. I'm going to pray with my colleague, and I'm going to pray that her son is okay. I'm going to pray to my God who heals. And praise God. The second miracle that I want to talk to you about is when I spoke in tongues for the first time. I was 19 years old. I'd been to loads of conferences where they tell you, you know, speak in tongues, and I'm like, it's not happening. Excuse me. And I went to my life group leader's house the night after life group because he wanted to give me a personal kind of teaching session. And we prayed that I'd be able to speak in tongues. And nothing happened in Roland's house. But then I went home that night. I laid on my bed. And the floodgates opened. And I lay in bed, speaking in tongues for about an hour. And I just kept on thinking to myself, this is an actual miracle coming out of my mouth. My second stone says, can you read this one? Who you are, okay? One thing I think is massively important is that we, when God knocks on the doors of our heart, if you don't mind too many analogies at once, and says, no, that's not who I've made you to be. This is who I've made you to be. When God goes to town to work on our identity, those are the things that I think back to as well. Because then it's easy. Because when you meet somebody who, you know, you just talk to them and you think, oh, my goodness, you know, you're going in the wrong direction. You're doing this, that, and the other. But if you can be the person that looks into them and think, oh, if I can get you to the point where you understand who God's really made you to be, that's when it all starts happening, okay? There'd be many times in my life when I found myself in the presence of God. It's not an accident. If you ask God for his presence, it'll be there. It's such a captivating and overwhelming experience when God just basically wipes you out. You know, I've spent so many times just lying flat on my face or flat on my back, tears streaming, as you can hear. When I talk about Jesus, sometimes I can hardly hold it back, as I've pretty much been doing for the last 25 minutes. there's a few times I want to tell you about. And you know, some of these are quite personal, but I won't, you know, it's okay, it's me. First one, 6 p.m. around that time, give or take 10 minutes, on the Sunday, the 23rd of July, 2006, I was at Bible Week, Staffordshire Showground, in the main hall. Andrew Hughes had just preached on the difference of anointing which David and Saul received. And what he communicated was that God, what he communicated that night was that basically you need to live your life out of who God has created you to be. And David was somebody who did that. You know, when Saul tried to put on armor that didn't fit him, he said, no, 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 I'll be myself. And that really was a foundational night in my life. Following Andrew preaching, the Spirit of God fell so heavily in that room. It was just like, it was like the air was thick. It was amazing. And God just told me that he'd made me just as I am intentionally, that he'd made me to laugh, that when I laughed, he laughed. And not only that was that a key time in me redefining who I sought to be, because I had to be honest, that had been a year where I'd been doing so much striving. I'd been striving over who I thought I needed to be. I'd be trying to copy other people, and they were probably just being who God had made them to be. But I, you know, but just God just stripped it all down and just say, be yourself. Those of you who like Disney movies, there's a bit where where the genie is trying to tell Aladdin, be yourself, okay? And for many of us, that's the best word of God you can ever receive, is be yourself. Be yourself. That was also the day that my wife first told me that she loved me. She didn't know I was going to be her husband at that point. She shouted out across the room because I was being funny, I love you, Paul. Little did she know. There you go. The next thing, I guess, is a kind of an overarching thing, and it's probably something that many of you know yourself. But without needing to go into the nitty-gritty, one thing that I carry with me is that there's nothing on the face of this earth that can't be overcome by worshipping Jesus. You can be wiped out. You can be the rawest you've ever been in terms of your emotions. But if you say, I will praise the Lord. This Boxing Day just gone, me and Jen had a pretty rough Christmas. We were very much in the wars in terms of our health physically. And I'm asthmatic, and it only occasionally crops up that it's a problem. But, you know, I think basically I developed a chest infection, and me and Jen had been sleeping in different beds because we just kept on waking each other up, and that wasn't making things easy. But I woke up, I'd hardly been asleep. I basically needed to wake up Jen because I was struggling to breathe. I was fighting for breath. And what we did is we both went downstairs, we sat on the sofa, and we just worshipped, and we just listened to some worship music. And God met us there. And that night we broke into a new season. Whatever comes your way, if you can praise Jesus in the face of it, you're always at the place of breakthrough. You know, there's nothing, yeah, I can't say it enough. You know, I think the last time I was up here, I was sharing some pretty personal stuff about what God had done. I don't need to redo that again, but I just want to tell you, you know, I can tell you, and if you want to know the details, if you're ever in that place, come and speak to me. Because I've got stuff I can tell you about that. Next stone. Trials. Somebody told me a few weeks ago that one of the things that I do as a person that encourages them is that I just basically tell it like it is. When it's good, when it's bad, I tell it like it is, okay? That's pretty much how I go. You know, trials can be really, really horrible and nasty. The three I'm just going to tell you about, just as an overarching thing, okay? Once, when I was back, I lived in Cardiff after I went to uni. I did a couple of years schools work for church, and I moved to Manchester for 3 years. Then I came back to Cardiff for 3 years. And that coming back to Cardiff for 3 years was probably three of the hardest years of my life. during that time, I was teaching in a job that I just didn't ever get into it. I started in September, and I was out of there by the end of March, and it was horrible. And much of that was probably of my own making. You know, I hated being there, which probably meant I didn't stick around at the end of the day and actually do some work. So it all kind of became a bit of a snowball effect. But, you know, whoever's fault it was, I was deeply unhappy. You know, I remember sitting at my parents' table. I lived with my parents back then. I remember sitting on my parents' dining room table, just sobbing, and just saying, because I basically thought my career was over as a teacher. I thought, you know, I was a guy in my mid-20s, 26, 27. I was single and not happy about that. and I basically just thought, well, where do we go from here, God? Because it's game over. Am I just going to be one of those guys who you just think, oh, well, you know, so much promise and never came through on it? And I got to tell you, at that moment in time, you know, there wasn't a lot of shining light, you know. Eventually, due to God's grace, he brought me out of it. But you know what? There's another passage I want to bring to mind here. And that is in Proverbs. Proverbs 4, verse 18. And before I read this, I just want to tell you, you know, if you've had some dark times, even if you're in a dark time now, one day that moment will shine. One day it will. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." One of the major things that led me to want to speak about this stuff this morning is the fact that part of my role in teaching is I work with other teachers, and often those other teachers are in a pretty difficult spot. The number of times I have people come to me in tears, or the number of times I'm on the phone with people who are in a very, very bad way, who basically believe that their careers are over, and part of my role is basically to help them. But you know what? That moment sat at my parents' table thinking, it's game over. Excuse me. What was one of the darkest moments in my life now shines brilliantly. Because I can say to these teachers, I've been where you've been. And I ended up here. And you may think all hope is lost. And I've even prayed with some of those people sometimes. Because I know. And you know what? God spoke to me this week about this. And it's not just in our ongoing walk with him that it's true that as our walk goes on, we get brighter and brighter and brighter. It's actually even better than that. It's actually because God's outside of time. And you know what? Right now, every time I can glorify God and say, I was here and now I'm here. That moment, that valley moment, sat my mum and dad's dining room table, gets brighter. and brighter and brighter and brighter. And it means that effectively, what was the time when the devil thought he'd cut me down at the knees, that's God's trophy time now in my life. And so I want to encourage you, particularly in this thing, in trials. One of the most foundational verses that I hold in my life is the start of the book of James, where it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds." And the reason for that is because I know, and I've been there. And now, when trials come, I can say, I will look on this day one day. I will look on this experience one day, and Jesus will be glorified. Do you know, much of the Bible focuses on people in those dark moments. You know, if we think about King David, you know, and I'm not suggesting that it's good that King David fell in adultery and murder. But I am suggesting that God can take even our biggest foul-ups and turn it into a victory. I don't know the millions of people that have ever been encouraged by King David. But you know what? If he'd never fell, if King David had never fell, you know, it'd be easy enough for us as Christians to look at King David and say, oh, he was just the golden boy, wasn't he? He had it all sorted, no problems ever, you know. Youngest kid, talented, singer, everybody fancied him, okay, you know. It would be easy enough to just think, well, some people are like that, you know. But that's not what happened. David got too big for his sandals. And yet, even in that, God has used it. And I don't know, yeah, the countless numbers of believers over the years that have said, well, blimey, if God still called him a man after his own heart, and he stuffed up that badly, I guess I'm not that bad after all, you know. It says in Psalm 143, Nikki, this is someone you put on Facebook this morning. It says, so my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. And in that, I want to lead us on to our last stone. So, and that is Jesus. You know, experiences are great. What we've seen God do is fantastic. What God has told us about ourselves is wonderful. But if we're not captivated by Jesus, we are missing the point of being a Christian. You know, we can have great doctrine, we can come to a great church, we can sing great songs and this, that and the other. But if when you think about Jesus, you don't go, amazing, then you're missing the point. And ultimately, you know, all of these other things could be put down to just landing on your feet. They could be put down to, well, you know, good times come and go. Bad times come and go. But if we don't have Jesus at the focus point of our entire lives, then we're just missing it, guys. A man that I really kind of identify with and love, he's a man who passed away when I was just a child. He's a man called Keith Green. Some of you may know him. Keith Green was a man who was alive between kind of the 60s and the 80s. He died very young. I think he was only 28 when he died. But in those years, he had such a profound effect, as I understand it. If you want to read a good book, I highly recommend the biography of Keith Green. It's called No Compromise. I've got a copy if you want to lend it. Keith Green said this. He said, "I don't know what you think a Christian is. I've known so many people that think a Christian means going to church a lot. You may have heard this before, but going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Saying a prayer doesn't make you a Christian. People in every religion pray. Even praying to Jesus doesn't make you a Christian. He says, many shall come in that day and say, Lord, Lord. But he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Having the gifts of the Spirit or looking like you've got them doesn't mean you're a Christian. Jesus said, many shall come in that day and say, Lord, did we not cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead and all kinds of stuff? And he'll say the same thing. Depart from me. I never knew you. You know what a Christian is? I've got a really good definition. Someone who's bananas for Jesus. Someone who loves the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. And don't forget the second part. And they love everybody else as much as they love themselves. Do you know what? Gilgal. Gilgal is where they set these stones, okay? And over the course of the Old Testament, you can read about Gilgal. It was a place of worship. They built a praise post out of where those stones from the River Jordan went. And that's something we can all do. The things that God has done in our life, that's where we can praise out of. But you know what? Gilgal also became a place where false idols were set up. But you know what? If we remember what Jesus has done, it will always prevent us from drawing our gaze away from him. Gilgal was the place where the Philistines lined up to pour scorn upon the name of God. It was where the sovereignty of God was challenged. But for us, if our testimonies are the things that we hold dear to, the did God really say voice that can sometimes come, you can shoot it down with. You should take the soul. Look at the soles of my feet, devil. That proves God does it. You should see where I look, where I stand now. That proves God does it. So to finish off, I want to ask us today. There's a few things I've said in the course of our time. Matthew, would you be able to come and play? Just some twiddling. So there's a few things that I've mentioned this morning. The first of which I said was, do you need to cross over today? Do you need God to part the river for you today? If you do, I'd like to pray with you. Have you forgotten the things that he's done for you in your life? Are you struggling with something that he's already dealt with in your life? Today, it might be a day to get that stone out, to put it where you're going to remind yourself that, hang on a second, he's done this before. He will do it again. Are there areas in your life where the sovereignty of God is being challenged? And if nothing else this morning, take some time and think again upon your own testimony. And think, wow, God, you did that for me before. You can do that for me again. Maybe not for me. You did that for me. You can do it for them. I guarantee, as a people looking out in this city, we need to be those that have our testimony ready. We need to be those people who are ready to give an account of God's goodness. Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to ask, if people want to come up to the front, I'd like to pray with you. I'm just going to pray for all of us. Where do you stand? Lord God, as we stand in your presence this morning, we thank you for all that it is you've done for us. We thank you that what you've done before, you can do again. Lord, I thank you that you're a healing God. Lord, I thank you that you're a God who's crafted us in our identities to be exactly who you made us to be. Lord God, I thank you that you're a God who can bring many through trials and ultimately use them for your glory, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.